Need My Money by Five, Kyle Kuzma.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and as always you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. We are less than 24 hours away from the beginning of the 2017-18 NBA season. It's probably a lot sooner depending on when you're listening to this podcast. So we're all ready to go for our two game opening night in the NBA, Tuesday night in the US, Wednesday morning over here in Australia. Really pumped. Can't wait to see all this action. Two huge games on, of course, the Warriors and the Rockets, and the Cavs taking on the Celtics on Tuesday. So super pumped for that. What I'm going to be doing in today's show is going over the news of the last 24 hours, or maybe a little bit less than 24 hours, and previewing the two games for tomorrow. Yeah, mainly from a DFS point of view, but you can have a look and you can listen to that part even if you're not playing DFS, because it does give you some information about those games for setting your daily lineup, streaming guys in, all that sort of stuff. So I'm going to be talking about all of that in today's podcast.
Let's get to it.
Oh, it's a fantastic idea, Mr. Bolton. Let's start with a little bit of DFS news. FanDuel and DraftKings are both running tournaments tomorrow that have late swap and running tournaments that don't have late swap. Now, myself and Greg Ehrenberg last week talked about the basics of DFS and we're talking about what late swap means. But both sites now have introduced late swap options in their tournaments. It's not exclusive, so you can play late swap. You cannot play late swap. It's totally up to you. But as of today, Greg's just informed me that FanDuel and DraftKings will both be running GPPs with and without late swap features. So make sure you're checking that out and make sure you're entering the right one. You don't want to be entering a late swap tournament if you're not going to be monitoring the news all night and making those adjustments. Now, especially say that second game, Warriors Rockets, and they do a late switch, and Andre Iguodala is out, and that gives great value to guys like Pat McCaw or maybe an Omri Caspi, and that can really change things. So if you're not going to be around for those games or for that late game, then playing in a late swap tournament is not the best idea. We'll talk more. We'll talk all about the DFS stuff soon, but let's get through the news of the day. Let's start with Memphis. Surprisingly to me, two guys who I didn't expect to get cut. And I told you Memphis had the roster that was probably the toughest to predict what they were going to do. Wade Baldwin and Rade Zagorats both waived. They were both selections in the 2016 NBA draft. Baldwin a first rounder, so he's got three more guaranteed years left. He's gone. And Zagorats was a second round player who came over this year yet to play a game in the NBA. Both of those guys have been cut. Baldwin, it looks like it's an attitudinal issue that didn't enable him to stick. I think that he's going to get a chance somewhere else. I was pretty big on him heading into the draft. He clearly didn't pan out. I thought he looked a bit better in preseason this year, and hopefully someone does give him a chance. I would have liked the Bulls to have taken that chance on him, but instead they grabbed Kay Felder off waivers after he was waived by the Hawks. Admittedly, I think they did make that move before Baldwin was waived. I really hope that someone gives Wade a chance and hopefully he can get his head and his ass into gear and turn things around. But obviously his dynasty value is at an all-time low at the moment. The other news, or some of the other news that's happened, guys that were waived in the roster cutdown the other day, Isaiah Taylor, who was surprisingly cut by Houston in my opinion. He's been assigned by Atlanta, who replaces Quinn Cook as the third string point guard there. He's not going to get a huge amount of playing time. But in some other Atlanta news, Mike Budenholzer said that he's looking to use an 11-man rotation. So that means one of either Isaiah Taylor or Tyler Dorsey or Luke Babbitt could be in the mix for those rotation minutes. Nicholas Brasino immediately going to a deeper rotation. So pay attention to that for those of you in deeper leagues. DeAndre Liggins, who's been all over the place. He was at the Clippers, and then he went to the Hawks and was waived there. He's now been picked up by the Bucks to fill their last roster spot, which was vacated by them cutting Brandon Rush. He's not going to have a significant role, but we saw him play some minutes last year for Cleveland. Didn't do too much with him, but he has gone to Milwaukee. Richard Jefferson, who was part of that Kay Felder trade from Cleveland to Atlanta, he was waived immediately by Atlanta, and he has gone to Denver. And Denver, really surprisingly, I thought, waived Jameer Nelson. Now, Nelson was looking to be the primary backup point guard. That is obviously no longer the case, and that means Manny Moutier moves back into the rotation as that backup behind the Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray. Monty Morris is the third string point guard, but he's a two-way guy, and we'll probably have Will Barton running a lot of point guard as well, assuming that Barton is healthy, because he suffered a significant ankle injury in practice the other day, had to be helped off the court. He is doubtful for Wednesday's opener, and I don't know if he's going to miss any further time after that. So that's an interesting one, and maybe the fact that they waived Nelson to bring in Jefferson means that they wanted that extra wing depth, because maybe Barton was going to miss some significant time. Mike Malone said he wanted to go to a 9-man rotation, so I don't think that that means Jefferson's going to be an every-night player. The 9-man would be the Blue Arrow, Moutier. It would be Harrison, Barton. It would be Wilson, Chandler, and Wancho. It would be Millsap, Jokic, and Plumlee. That would be the 9-man rotation. But of course, if Barton is out, then I think you're going to get Jefferson and maybe Malik Beasley come in to take some of those minutes. So I don't think Jefferson's going to have significant value unless they think that he's a better player than Wancho, which would be absolutely batshit crazy in my opinion. You want Wancho out there. I know he's not a 3, but he's played well as a 3. He can defend the 3 well. He can play as the backup 4. Unless Malone wants to go to a 10-man rotation and play Wancho strictly as the backup 4 and play Jefferson as the 3, I don't think that Dick Jefferson is going to be a regular every-night part of the rotation there in Denver. Speaking of not being an every-night part of the rotation, Boban Marjanovic, Rod Beard, our man, the DFS-friendly beat reporter for the Detroit News, came out today and said that Boban will not be an every-night part of the rotation. He will be the third-string center. A lot of the time, the center position will be back up by committee. You'll have the tackle box, John Lua. You'll have Henry Allenson maybe playing a little bit there, Anthony Tolliver, and you'll have Boban. So any hopes that people had for Boban getting 20 minutes a night, they were obviously asinine to me in the beginning. He was never going to do that. Andre Drummond has looked more focused. He's going to play more minutes this season. I am very, very confident of that. So Boban was never going to get those minutes. And now, Rod thinks that he's going to get 12 to 13 minutes a night on the nights that he does play. So that renders him pretty useless, I think, in standard leagues. Myself and Kyle, we've held that opinion all off-season. I know a lot of people have been pretty interested in what Boban can do because he's per 36 numbers. And when he filled in last year in 20 minutes a game, he was fantastic. But he can't sustain it over a long period of time. He can't sustain it in larger minutes for long periods. And it's going to be the case, I believe, again this season. In LA, some interesting news. Lonzo Ball practiced. He looks like he's going to be ready to go. Julius Randle and Andrew Bogut were listed on the NBA's official roster sheets as being inactive for the opener, but the Lakers don't play till Thursday, so they can obviously change that, but Randle didn't practice, and if he doesn't play, then obviously Kyle Kuzma and Larry Nance get a boost. I think that Nance is in line to start regardless of Randle's status, and it appears that Kuzma could be an option to start in place of the suspended Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I thought they'd move immediately Jordan Clarkson into that role, but as you know, Clarkson's not that good, so we could have Kuzma playing there or playing in the starting lineup with Brandon Ingram moving down to the 2. Luol Deng has also been running with the starters. So in a situation where with KCP missing and if Randle is out, you'll see Deng get some extra minutes there also. Josh Hart was also in the mix, but he appeared to hurt his Achilles today. Not a significant injury, but that could keep him out of that opening night roster. So Kuzma is going to have some inflated value, I think, for those first two games, especially if Randle misses. But I see him being picked like 9th round, and that is insanity to me. I don't understand it. So he's still got a draft. I don't think you should be doing that with Kuzma. I think the minute squeeze is going to be a real problem with him. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is almost definitely out of Wednesday's opener for the Hornets with a personal issue. That's going to open up the more minutes for Jeremy Lamb. It's going to open up more minutes for Malik Monk. And it's going to open up more minutes for my man, the Sizzler, Dwayne Bacon, who should get some extra minutes there. Some of that could go to Trevion Graham, but Bacon has been impressive in preseason. Steve Clifford's loved him, so I think that he's going to get a lot of those minutes that Kidd-Gilchrist is not going to play. Also, you'll see Marv Williams move to the 3, and you'll see more minutes for Frank the Tank Kaminsky there also. So that is something to watch. Lamb, Monk as a deeper, maybe a 14-team league sort of a guy. Bacon for your 16 to 18-team leaguers, and then Frank and Marv get that real boost even for 12-teamers in this sort of a situation. Terrence Ross might not be ready for opening night with a hamstring in Orlando, so that means that John Simmons might get the start there. He'd look pretty impressive in preseason. He'd be an interesting short-term flyer in that sort of situation. And the last news part that I want to get to is the process. Joel Embiid, who is going to be ready to go, we know that, but looks like his minutes are going to be limited to something in the teens. I would say high teens, 18 to 19 for Embiid for at least the beginning of the season. Amir Johnson or Jahlil Okafor will be his backup with Rashawn Holmes out. Maybe both of those guys get minutes. But I also think that Dario Saric is going to get some backup center minutes. So I personally don't believe that Okafor and Johnson will both play. I think one of them will. I think it'll start off with Amir, but it could be Jahlil, and then Saric gets some of those backup minutes while Embiid works himself up. And if you remember last season, he wasn't on minutes restrictions consistently. I mean, he was, but they changed it. Within a month, they'd be changing. So I can see him being up. By the end of October, he can be up to 25 minutes a night comfortably, and then by the end of December, he'll be at 29 to 30 minutes a night. That's the way that I see it going, maybe even quicker. It's not going to be a February sort of situation where it takes him until then to get to 25 a night. It will be ramped up relatively quickly, assuming everything goes okay for our man Joel Embiid. The process. Well, let's hope so. Anyway, that's the aim. That's the idea. That's the hope. Let's talk DFS action now for Tuesday's games. And I will stress this again: there are two games on, and you know my theory. If it's two games, it's not a good DFS slate to play. I know you're all really itching. I know you've all got basketball boners for the first night here of the NBA season, and you want to get into some DFS action. But watch what you're doing. Watch your exposure. Don't go your full amount that you'd normally play. Not only is there only two games, but in these situations, we're not exactly sure what happens at the start of the season. Now, these rosters and rotations are fairly settled, but LeBron is questionable. J.R. Smith says he's going to play. Ty Lue says he's not so sure. You would think that LeBron would play, but who knows? Maybe LeBron sits out with this ankle problem. Who knows if Andre Iguodala is going to play for the Golden State Warriors? So there are some things that can change. And with this lineup, I think it's more of a maybe you throw a GPP in there. I wouldn't be going too hard and playing big volume. I'm going to be sitting this one out. Well, it looks like I'm going to be sitting this one out, but maybe for you Aussies, Draft Stars has got some really, really good pricing for some of the guys. So there is some value maybe on Draft Stars. But with the pricing, especially on FanDuel, it looks really good, meaning there's not a ton of value that's sticking out, which makes it a little bit more crapshooty, which is not something you want to do when you're looking at cash games in this sort of a slate. So just be careful with what you're doing with your DFS outlay for this slate of games. It's not the ideal situation. It's not what we want to do. When we look at Wednesday, when 11 games are on, then we can go sick. Yeah, balls to the wall. Let's get it all going. Let's get our exposure out there and let's really get the DFS game cracking. But for now, sit back, enjoy the first two games. Let's see what happens. Enjoy these high quality contests and maybe put a little bit in, but don't go too sick. The first game we're going to look at is the first game. It's the opening game of the NBA season. It is fantastic in terms of drama, assuming LeBron plays, of course. But even if he doesn't, it is going to be interesting to see the Boston Celtics travel to Cleveland with Kyrie Irving returning, obviously playing against Jay Crowder, against his former team also. The Cavs are favored by 3.5, and we've got a significantly high total of 212. It actually gets dwarfed by the total in the other game, but both of these are decently high-paced games. This is the closest in terms of projected winning margin between the two, so there is some value in both of these contests. In terms of injury, Aaron Baines looks like he is going to be okay to go. For the Celtics, Marcus Morris has already been ruled out. We know that. LeBron is questionable for Cleveland. Now, if LeBron isn't ready to play, then we're going to see more minutes for Jeff Green.
My name is Jeff.
We're going to see more minutes for Jay Crowder. We're going to see massive upticks in usage for Derrick Rose, for Kevin Love, for Dwayne Wade. They'll all absorb a lot of that usage for LeBron if he happens to sit. So it changes quite a bit for this team if LeBron is out, and Love becomes a superb play, as does Crowder in most situations. As for Boston, we assume that Jason Tatum is going to start over Marcus Morris. I don't think that there's really much else that's going to happen in that case. Maybe they start Bainesy there. That's a possibility, but I think they will go with Tatum, and that will put Gershon Yabesele and Semi Ojeleye in there as the backup power forwards, you know, splitting some of those minutes and not really having too much of an impact in that sort of a case. As I generally do on this podcast, when I'm referencing the prices, I'm going to be talking about FanDuel prices, but I will talk about DraftKings as well. For you guys in Australia, Moneyball and DraftStars, I'll give a bit of an overview of that at the end of this segment. I'm going to be changing things a little bit with the DFS this year. Last year, I gave those picks of the day, but I'm going to go a little bit different. I don't think that people were necessarily using them the right way, and it's not the ideal way to create DFS rosters or DFS lineups. So I'm going to go through and talk about, you know, players on each in each situation that I'd like for certain game types, similar to the way that Greg does it in his articles over on Basketball Monster. So I'm not necessarily going to give that lineup at the end with those players on there, rather go through each game individually, because it's never a case of just looking at that list of plays of the day, and I would never recommend doing that. And that's why I don't think that it's necessarily a great idea to put that up, because maybe it leads some people just to focus solely on that, which I don't think is what people... I don't think it's something that people should necessarily do. All right, where are we? Which game are we going to take a look at here? All right. Are we going to FanDuel? Yeah, let's go to this first game, this Boston and Cleveland game. As I said, I think the Cavs will get it done, assuming that assuming of course that LeBron plays and is ready to go and is at full strength. There is the theory you could have out there that LeBron is just going to sit it out to show Kyrie that he means nothing to him, that he doesn't have to push himself to play because he doesn't care. So that, I guess, that's a theory that is out there in terms of the way LeBron thinks. Maybe he does that, maybe he doesn't. It does remain to be seen. But let's have a look at this pricing for these guys. We'll start with the point guards in this matchup. Of course, it's Kyrie Irving in Boston heading back to Cleveland. He is at 8,200 over on FanDuel. Remember, we're generally looking for a 5x level of return, so that means we need Kyrie to exceed 40 points, and I think he can. I'm not sure that he is an absolute lock to do it, but I think that there is some decent value there. It is the high-paced game. The Derrick Rose defense is not something that's going to bother Kyrie. He should have some motivation, playing against Cleveland. Not that I want to buy too much into narrative, but I think Kyrie at 8,200 does have some value. I think it's a terrible situation to use him as well. And again, with only the two games on, we're talking about probably max 42 guys playing, and you're constructing a 9-man or an 8-man lineup. So you're going to have to put some of these guys in that you don't necessarily love. And I think Kyrie is one of those guys that we can look at 8,200 and feel pretty good about. Marcus Smart at 5,300. I think there's something to see there with him. He'll play some extra minutes, of course, with the absence of Avery Bradley. I think his minutes are fairly safe, and they should increase a little bit from last season. Also, 5,300 is not necessarily the greatest price. I'm not sure there's massive upside there, but I also think his floor is relatively secure there, so I wouldn't hate putting Marcus Smart in as one of your point guards. As for Derrick Rose at 5,500, well, obviously, if LeBron is out, then Rose gets a real big boost, and I like him there. In fact, I like him pretty much regardless. I know that Rose isn't the greatest fantasy player. He doesn't get big assists or steals, which would be really great if he could, given the FanDuel scoring system. But 5,500 for Rose, I think, is a it's a decent price with a fair level of upside if LeBron does happen to sit. In this one, I think that there is something that we can look at with Rose as being an option in this game. Shooting guards, Jaylen Brown is almost the minimum. He is at 3,700. He is not a high fantasy producer. I would definitely consider throwing him in, so you can fit a Jim Harden in, so you can fit a Klay Thompson in as another shooting guard, your Stephs, your KDs, given the price, given the fact that he will start. But last season, in his last five games, he played 19 minutes a game and he got 11 points. Like, he's not a high point scorer. With Hayward, with Irving, with Horford, with even Tatum around him, he is going to be the fifth offensive option in that starting five. Marcus Smart will probably have a higher usage than him. And he's not a guy that just racks up the stats. So I don't love it. It's not an absolute lock. Yeah, he is definitely getting 17 points. I don't think that's the case at all. And I don't think you should really think that about Jaylen. But at 3,700, for him to get 20 points, it's not a big stretch. It's not a difficult task for him to do. So I do think that there is something to see here with Jaylen Brown, especially with Dwayne Wade's non-existent defense on him. Speaking of Wadey, he is at $6,000 on FanDuel, probably a little bit high. I would definitely have a look at it, maybe as a tournament guy if LeBron was out. But if LeBron plays at $6,000, I'm just not in on Wade. That's a 30-point plateau he needs to reach, and that's not going to happen for me. J.R. Smith, Terry Rozier, Kyle Korver, Iman Shumpert, they're all priced under 3,500. They don't really appeal to me that much, just given the limited minutes they're going to be seeing. You gotta love Jason Tatum at 3,500 minimum salary. Should start, should crack 20 points. To me, that is a guy that I just want in my lineups. You know, that'll enable me to put KD in. That'll enable me to put Kevin Love if LeBron is out, or Steph, or I can put in any of these, a Jim Harden, you know, maybe not Chrissy Paul, which we'll get to in a sec, but I love that on FanDuel for Tatum at 3,500. That is a super, super price. Obviously, we've never seen him play in the NBA, but at that price, in a starter's role, you gotta love it. As for LeBronald, 10,400 for LeBron. He's questionable. It is the first game of the night, so we'll know his status. Look, if you've got the cash, then you can go there. But yeah, you know, I'd probably lean a little bit more towards KD in this situation rather than LeBron, given the uncertainty of his ankle. But 10,400, you get 50 out of LeBron. I think you should feel pretty good, given the way the pricing is structured on FanDuel for Tuesday's action. The other small forward, of course, is Gordon Hayward, who is at 7,600. I'm not in on Hayward there. I'd be okay throwing him into a tournament, but he's not a high priority guy for me to have a look at in this situation. Jeff Green and Ojale, two $3,000 small forwards that you can take a look at. Obviously, Green at 3,000 would become one of the plays of the day if LeBron happens to be out. But aside from that, I don't think we will go there. At power forward, Kevin Love is at $7,000. If LeBron is out, that's a no-brainer. Even if LeBron is in, I think that there's good value there in Love, and he can exceed those numbers. There is the risk, though, of Rose and Wade taking away too many shots, so I'm not sure that I would go with Kev as a cash game play. As for Jay Crowder at $4,500, I really like him at that price. That is a super cheap price. The upside is through the roof if LeBron is out. But at $4,500, enabling you to put some of those other studs in, I do like Crowder in that sort of a situation. At center, there's really not much here on FanDuel. Bainsey is at 3,200, and if we find out that he gets the start, I'd be all over getting him in there at that price. You've got Big Al Horford at 7,200, which is not bad, but I think it's probably just a little bit too high against a Cleveland team. And when he does match up against Tristan Thompson, he can struggle a little bit on those boards, which does impact him. At 7,200, I would probably lean going away from Horford, while Tristan Thompson at 5,200, that's just too expensive for my tastes. The guys that I really do like here for cash on FanDuel is Tatum, it's Crowder, it's Irving, Rose. I think you can consider Horford maybe a cash guy with not necessarily massive tournament upside, but there is a level of risk there with Big Al. If I want to look at some guys to throw into some tournaments, Jaylen Brown, I think, actually, I could see using Brown as a cash guy as well, just given how cheap he is. I think Kevin Love's more of a tournament-y guy, as is LeBron, if people steer clear because of the injury, and Bainsey at 3,200. I would move Baines to a cash play if he starts, but I think he's more of a tournament guy in his bench minutes at 3,200. Let's have a look at how things differ over on DraftKings and the big differences, or where the value comes in there. Jay Crowder, I really like him. He's at $4,300, so a little bit cheaper. Jaylen and Tatum are still good options, but Marcus Smart's one of the ones that really stands out to me on DraftKings. He comes out at $4,800, and I like him as a cash play as well as a tournament play. And generally, when I say cash play, it makes them GPP guys also. Dwayne Wade comes in a lot cheaper on DraftKings too, $5,200, and I really, really like him as a tournament guy, and I'd probably upgrade him to a cash guy if LeBron happens to sit, while Kyrie at $8,300, I feel pretty good about that in cash and in tournaments for Kyrie there. Who else have we got here? LeBron, I'm not certain about it. It's hard to use LeBron given the injury risk, or not the risk, the risk that he doesn't play, or the risk that he is somewhat limited. So that's something that you do have to pay a level of attention to with LeBron in all these lineups, and that does open up those things for those other guys, as I mentioned. If I want to look at some other guys at DraftKings, I like Al Horford much, much better on DraftKings, $6,000. That is a very, very good price for him. Dwayne Wade, I said 5,200 is a real good one. And Derrick Rose at 5,000. I really like that, with the upside if LeBron is limited too. So Rose is a guy who is definitely coming into my calculations on both DraftKings and on FanDuel. Let's go to the second game of the night now, and that is the Golden State Warriors taking on the Houston Rockets. The Warriors are favored by 9.5, so it's a pretty significant spread. I know they're good, but the Rockets are pretty good as well. That seems high, and the total is just a monster. It's 231.5 points Injury-wise, Shawnee Livingston is not listed on the injury report. He was ill. He missed practice the other day. He is fine. Andre Iguodala is listed as questionable, while Omri Caspi is probable. Interestingly, both Caspi and Iguodala were listed as inactive on that NBA official roster sheet that was sent around today. So it shows that you can't, you know, place massive amounts of trust in that at this point. I would expect that Iguodala and Caspi both play, but I don't expect that Caspi is going to necessarily be a part of the rotation. There is that situation of him and Nick Young is fighting for that last rotational spot, and we don't know which way it's going to go. At this point, I'm expecting it to be Young, but it could be Caspi. But Caspi's not going to have value unless Iguodala really sits, or if he actually sits, not really. The point, the values on FanDuel for this game, I don't love them. I think they're priced pretty aggressively, and there's nothing that stands out and goes, yeah, I absolutely love this. Steph Curry's at 9,700. We know he's been locked in and he was great at the end of last season, but that's a big price. You need Steph to be nudging up to 47, 48 points, and that's a tough ask. I'd throw him into a tournament and hope that he goes off, but I have no reliability in that for a cash game situation. Shawnee Livingston, yeah, no, he's at $3,000. Like, how's he going to be getting that value back? I don't think he will. And then you've got the unknown with Chris Paul, who's at $8,800, and we just don't know necessarily how he's going to put those numbers together, and if he's going to be worth it. I think he's going to be fine, but will he be worth almost $9,000 and get 45 fantasy points against a Warriors team whose defense, especially against point guards, has been decently good over the last couple of seasons? I'm not buying that, so he's a guy that I'm steering clear of. Shooting guards, we've got Klay Thompson at 6,800. We saw so many times last year Klay would either have a big game or he'd be invisible, and that would make him almost impossible to use in cash games. So, you know, I like him as a tournament guy here. Comfortably can get to 40 points. There's no concern about that, but could also drop a 20. So I don't like using him in cash, but I do like him in tournaments. As for Jim Harden at $11,000, we know the sort of numbers he was putting up last year. The unknown, I guess, with Chris Paul, the fact that he's playing the Warriors is a little bit of a level of concern. But if you're throwing a Jaylen Brown and you're throwing a Jason Tatum in, it's going to open up some money. And 11,000 on Harden feels pretty good. I feel pretty confident that he can get to close to 50 points. And that's not a bad return given the way that this slate sort of shakes out. 5,200 for Eric Gordon. I'm not behind that. That'd be tournament only. But even then, I'm not really keen on it. Whereas Uncle P and Pat McCaw, I'd look at Young and McCaw if Iguodala was sitting, and you might throw one of those guys in, probably Pat at $3,000, but if everyone's healthy, I just can't see either of those guys being useful options. As for Iguodala, he is at 4,300. I think if he's fine to go, he plays a little bit more in terms of minutes in this game. I don't mind him at 4,300, but I'm definitely not in love with it, whereas Kevin Durant at 9,800, very similar to Steph Curry at at 9,700 and Durant at 98, I'd throw him into tournaments. I wouldn't throw him into the same tournament, but I don't feel all that confident about them in cash. Now, I feel more confident about Durant in a cash game than I do for Curry, but I'm still not totally sold on either. I like PJ Tucker here a lot, though. 3,900, going to have to play minutes against this Warriors team. Ryan Anderson will likely be limited because he's shit house on defense, so maybe PJ can come in there and take some of those minutes. Maybe he plays over Nene, who might be a bit old to take on this Warriors team, play some backup center. So I really like PJ Tucker at that $3,900 price tag, whereas Trevor Ariza at 56, yeah, put him down to 5,000, I'd be all over it. But at 56, I reckon I'll probably let Trev slide at that sort of a price tag. The power forwards, Draymond's at 8,300. Again, just feels like he's $500 too high, like so many of these other guys. He's got to exceed 40 points, and I'm just not sure that that's the way that it's going to go down here for Draymond. Tournament guy, not really keen on cash. Dave West at 3,100. Maybe, if you're looking to save some money. West is going to get his 12 to 13 minutes. He could put up 12 to 13 points, and that's not too bad at $3,000, but there will be better options out there. Ryan Anderson at 4,700, forget that. Not interested in that at all. At center, I like Clint Capela at 6,000. It is probably a little bit high, but the other centers you got out there, Tristan Thompson, Al Horford, you know, Zaza Pachulia, there's nothing real exciting there. So getting a 6,000 center in Clint, who's got that chance to get 28 to 30 points, I think you should feel pretty okay about it. And he's got the ability to stay on the court against the Warriors. He can switch onto the perimeter. Yeah, it's not going to be easy for him, but he can do something against those guys, which Anderson can't. Yeah, Nene probably can't. Tariq Black can't. So there is an upside there to Clint in that situation. Zaza, 3,800. Don't hate Zaza there. I actually think there is something to like there. I think you can have a look at him as a GPP type of center. If he gets 20 minutes, yeah, 20 points could come his way. And that's clearly returning that sort of value that you need from a guy at that type of salary. If we move it across to DraftKings, Iguodala's at 3,600. So if he plays, I love that. That is sensational value to get him at that price. And I think that if he plays, he smashes that. Almost no doubt in my mind that he gets that. Everyone else's price on DraftKings for these Warriors guys is significantly lower. Love Draymond at 7,000. Love Clay at 6,200. Even though he is a bit streaky, I'd lean a bit more tournament-y rather than cash for Clay, but love that price. Steph is $1,000 cheaper. So he becomes a really, really good value guy, and I'd be looking to plug him in into cash into tournaments as well. And Trevor Ariza is almost $1,000 cheaper at 4,500. I said I didn't love it over on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, yeah, he can definitely be a part of your lineup at that sort of a price tag. PJ Tucker, yeah, he's good at his price, 3,500. Jim Harden's at 10,000, so a full $1,000 cheaper. Yeah, love starting a lineup with him. As I said, putting Jaylen, putting Tatum in, yeah, you can fit Harden. You might be able to fit Harden and Curry in and get those other two guys into your lineup. Whereas Chris Paul at 8,000, you know, that's probably still a bit high, even though it is cheaper than FanDuel. I would look at Paulie and take a squeeze at him and maybe look at him as a tournament. And that's probably all we want to have a look at over on DraftKings. I see Tucker and Paul as more tournament-y guys, although I can see Tucker being used as a cash game guy. But yeah, Iguodala, Green, Thompson, Curry, Ariza, all of those guys, I believe, can have value in a cash game over on DraftKings. That just about does it. But what I am going to do, I said I'm going to talk about the Aussie sites and give some value guys there on Moneyball and DraftStars as well. Let's start with Moneyball. Yeah, their pricing's fairly aggressive as well, like FanDuel. Tatum at 4,000, I think that's strong. Marcus Smart at 52 is nice. Jaylen Brown and Kevin Love at their prices. I like Draymond. I like Durant at 10,200. I think that's okay on Moneyball. Steph at 9,500 is passable as well. And Clint Capella at 6,200. It gets me a little bit interested. Kyrie at 9,300, probably more of a tournament guy. Well, Jim Harden at 10,500. I'm all in on Jim. Again, there are a couple of cheap guys there you can add to enable you to be able to use Jim Harden. DraftStars, on the other hand, I think there's a ton of value here. Derrick Rose at 5,650 is the best play on any of those four sites that I mentioned. Jason Tatum is priced $300 higher than Derrick Rose. That seems insanity to me, but I still like him there. Both of those guys, you know, Rose should be the guy you're building around on DraftStars. Jaylen Brown at 61, Harden at 18, Irving at 15,750. Fantastic value. Iguodala at 84, I love. Marcus Smart at 10,1. Bainsey at 56. Haywood at 14,25. Crowder, Wade at 10,4 and 10,9. Curry at 19,8 or Durant at 27. You can fit those guys in given the value of those other players. So they do have, you know, more tournament upside, and I wouldn't be stacking those guys, you know, together necessarily. I'd look to play one or the other, not necessarily both of them. But there is some value there on DraftStars as well. Probably more value than any of the DFS sites that I did cover. That does it. That is the first of the season but this is first of the daily podcast. It's the first of season five of this podcast. It is my 1,000th total episode, the first of a new season. Tomorrow we'll be back to recap those two games and preview the monster 11-game slate for DFS purposes. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify, and leave a review. It's the best way of helping this show out, and check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Lonzo Ball.